WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. And significantly less colder. I've got, 33 degrees, which certainly beats the teens. And we're on a warming trend, although we're going to get some wet weather. But we're going to be in the 40s for the rest of the week. I'll take that. I actually walked out of my bedroom this morning into the main part of the apartment and said, I don't need to boost up the heat. And then I got out of the shower and said, I need to boost up the heat. But it'll be nice to have it in the 40s for the next few days. So we have a lot that we can discuss this morning. But a programming note that I forgot to mention yesterday. And this is something that probably only affects the folks that are listening overnight. Some of you may still be awake. But as you know, obviously, you're well aware that last year Charlie Kirk was murdered. And that meant that they made some changes with the Charlie Kirk Show, which we air here on WBSM. And they had been kind of, you know, it was just kind of getting through the end of the year, I think, with that program and deciding what was going forward in the future. And so they did make the adjustments. And they split the time up between Alex Marlowe and Scott Jennings. I'm sure a number of you have seen Scott Jennings on CNN. He also has a radio program now. And what they had been doing is they'd been giving Scott Jennings the last hour of the Charlie Kirk Show. I think this is even before Charlie was murdered. And so this was, you know, I knew that the Scott Jennings Show was something that they were working on building up because they sent all kinds of emails about it. And so now the schedule change is we have 2 hours every night of the Scott Jennings Show. It's a 2-hour show. So we have 2 hours of that starting at 10 p.m. And then at midnight, we run Alex Marlowe. And because it's a show that's recorded earlier in the day and then we broadcast it later on, because those shows are on while we're live here. So because it's run later on, it's going to be, you know, the previous day's show. So when you hear it at midnight, you know, they're going to be, you know, you hear it at midnight tonight, they're going to be talking about Tuesday, even though technically for us it'll be Wednesday. But that's going to be our new late night programming on a permanent basis. And then one other note, the new city council president is Ward 6 Councilor Ryan Pereira. He was voted in unanimously by his colleagues last night. And I spoke with Councilor Pereira yesterday, you know, Council President Pereira yesterday, and he will be joining us on a regular basis. He will be here with us. So the plan is, and I'm going to let him decide when he wants to start, if he wants to do it right away on this first Monday coming up, or if he needs a little bit of time to get everything organized, because, you know, he's got to come up with all the committee assignments and all that stuff. So when he's ready to start it, we'll start it. He plans to come in. He plans to come in Mondays at 8 o'clock, so keeping it the same time that it's been with Council President Burgo, previous Council President Burgo. And he is going to take your calls. You know, basically the same exact format. The only difference is, and he asked if it would be okay if when there are important things coming up in committee, if he could have the committee chairs come on. Now, I'm going to leave that up to him, how he wants to handle it, if he wants them to come in instead of him, if he wants them to come in with him, if he wants them to call in while he's here. But he wants to be able to feature them because, as Councilor Burgo was talking about with us yesterday, as council president, Councilor Pereira wants to put more power in the hands of the committees and the committee chairs. So he wants to have it be, you know, a stronger emphasis on the committee work. So we'll figure out how that's going to happen, but we'll definitely be able to feature them. And certainly, you know, as I've always said, any counselor can be part of this program. They just have to, you know, let me know that they're calling in, but, you know, give me a heads up so when you call the VIP line, I know that it's you. Or if you want to come in, you know, schedule it with me, make sure I don't have another guest plan, but I'm always happy to have any of the counselors on about whatever issues they want to discuss. But that will be the plan going forward, is it'll remain Mondays at 8 o'clock. It will remain an in-person call-in situation because, you know, Councilor Pereira has a day job working for his family's company. And when you're working in that industry, the home improvement industry, sometimes you have early starts. So I would totally have been understanding if 8 o'clock in the morning on a weekday doesn't work, but he's going to make it work for us and continue to give you access to the council president, just as we have, or we've tried to have since I've been a weekday host here. So we just had some scheduling issues when Councilor Carney was the council president because of her work schedule, so we couldn't work it out. But other than that, we've had a pretty good record here of having the city council president be a regular part of the programming. And as we were saying yesterday, and as I've been saying all along, I think it's important for you to be able to call in and speak with them. I think it's important for them to give us the inside perspective on the council work. And I think it's important to have that balance since, you know, the mayor has an hour every week. And again, not that they're always at odds and it's you've got to get your share, your say, and he's got to get his say and she's got to get her say and all that. There have been, of course, incidents where that's been the case. But it's just more about hearing it from the different sides of how it works. So it'll be good to continue on with that segment. I'm looking forward to it. I enjoyed the past year with Council President Burgo. I mean, I know, you know, sometimes with the callers, things got a little contentious. And I look at it as this, you know, my job during that segment is to press the buttons and move the conversation forward. But I'm not here to defend the council president. I'm not here to defend the callers against him. I'm just here to kind of facilitate the discussion between you and your elected official. You know, if it gets to the point where it gets a little bit too off the rails, pull it back onto the rails. But other than that, you know, not to editorialize what the conversation is. So we'll continue on with that same concept. You know, it's your show. It's the council president's show in that hour. I know I like to yell. It's my show when people tell me how to run it. But really, that's what it's all about from a content perspective. It's about you talking to him and him talking to you. And as I always say, I'm just the monkey that presses the buttons. So we can talk more about that. We can talk about any of the other things going on in the city. We had a lot of news that came out yesterday, including We got a press release from Bristol County Sheriff Paul Heroux marking the third anniversary. And I shouldn't say it like that. It's because it's not an anniversary you want to observe, but it marked the third year to the date without a suicide at a Bristol County Sheriff's Office facility. And previous to that, according to Sheriff Heroux, there had been 1 to 4 jail suicides every year going back to 1998. And so, you know, he wasn't, this press release, Sheriff Heroux press releases are very interesting. He writes them himself. I don't know that he has someone else look over them. But they're very interesting. But they're also very transparent. And, you know, and I say that in the sense that, you know, he gives you everything, warts and all. And this was not him necessarily touting, look what I did. And I know some of the commenters were phrasing it as, you know, he was trying to make former Sheriff Hodgson look bad. That's not the case. You know, there was no quotes about my predecessor did not do a good enough job of preventing this or anything like that. It was just a factual statement, a statistical statement of how many jail suicides there had been previously. And then he talked about the measures that they've implemented based on the review of the expert that came in and gave the review and credited both the review and the work of the department, the work of the sheriff's office in implementing those things. And I know some of you out there have a very callous approach to it and you say, I don't care how many people kill themselves in the jail. Because that's one less criminal that'll get back out on the streets. And while that's not really, you know, a very humane look at it, you also have to look at it from the perspective of if you have too many jail suicides, then the Commonwealth is going to come in and say, what is going on here? And they're going to try to take things over and you don't want that to happen. So getting it under control was an important thing. So it is worth, you know, noting, I won't use the term celebrating because, again, we're talking about inmate suicides, but it is worth, you know, recognizing that 3 years without an inmate suicide is a very significant accomplishment for the Bristol County Sheriff's Office. And it shows that one of the major campaign talking points, you know, remained a focus. Just looking at the TV here, we're going to get to 50 degrees on, Friday and Saturday? That's pretty nice. No matter what the rest of the weather is, I'll take a 50-degree day in January. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We are still collecting entries for our contest this week to see the Portuguese Kids at the Vault Performing Arts Center in New Bedford on January 23rd. You can click on the link in the contest page to buy tickets directly if you'd like to do that. But you can also enter in your information to try to win a free pair. It's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven and the Vault Performing Arts Center. And we have so many more shows we're going to be providing tickets to. We have so many more events coming up. We've got a big concert calendar coming up in 2026. And even what we know about so far, we're going to have a big year with ticket giveaways, but so many more things are going to pop up. So many more things are going to come across our desk here, and we're going to have quite the year when it comes to being able to give away stuff. So hopefully you've got the WBSM app downloaded. Hopefully you are visiting our website every day. If not, keep your eyes peeled because you're probably going to see contests pop up on there before I tell you about them here. All right, I got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Tim Meisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back in, and I'm here only to be with you, but for another minute, and then we're going to turn things over to Mike Roberts in the WBSM newsroom, and then we can take more of your calls or start taking your calls. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We got some app chat messages yesterday, some folks who are excited about the upcoming switch of the Paul Santos Show to Santos on Sports, and some folks who said, you know what? I might not tune in. I'm not really a sports show kind of person, but I would say, you know, check it out because it's going to be Paul Santos. It's going to be Chris Santos. It's going to be, you know, entertaining discussion, even if you're not familiar with what they're talking about. So, and of course, it will also be podcast. If you are already downloading the Paul Santos podcast each week, it's just going to switch over to Santos on Sports. If you have not been getting it, well, then the first Santos on Sports episode will be January 17th, is it? Is that the Saturday? Hold on here. Yes, January 17th will be the first Santos on Sports episode here on WBSM. So you can get ready to have all your hot sports takes on Saturday mornings. And I know Paul is waiting to talk to all of you about it. All right, we've got to go into the newsroom now and get all of the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
Venezuela's Maduro pleads not guilty, an evacuation near the Arizona state capitol, and a new deadline for a possible government shutdown.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is pleading not guilty to federal drug and weapons charges. Maduro was arraigned yesterday and charged in the U.S. with narco-terrorism, conspiracy, cocaine importation, and weapons offenses. The House Minority Leader is criticizing the capture of Venezuelan President Maduro. At a Monday news conference, Representative Hakeem Jeffries called out the administration for taking military action without getting congressional authorization.
The American people are now supposed to believe that this whole situation that has unfolded in Venezuela has anything to do with a counter-narcotics operation. Get lost.
He said the administration is out of control and that it must answer a lot of questions about Saturday's military operation. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is pointing to his state's child care fraud scandal as the reason behind his decision not to seek re-election. Walz told reporters that every minute he spends defending his political interest would be a minute away from defending the people of Minnesota against the criminals who prey on their generosity. He also added that he would have to defend the cynics who prey on differences. The Democrat insisted he's combating the fraud and added he would have won the election if he stayed in the race. Walz rose to the national stage after being picked to be Kamala Harris's running mate in the 2024 presidential election. He was running for his third term as governor. Neither Republicans nor Democrats appear to have an appetite for another government shutdown. The next government funding deadline is set for January 31st. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer told ABC News Republicans and Democrats are working together on spending bills that don't include a health care component. Meanwhile, the House is expected to vote this week on a bill allowing a 3-year extension of the Affordable Care Act subsidies. House Republicans already passed a health care bill that did not include an ACA extension. Both measures are expected to be worked on in the Senate. President Trump will be joining Republicans at a private GOP retreat in Washington, D.C. Reports say the day-long event at the Trump-Kennedy Center will reportedly focus on their strategy to keep the majority in the midterm elections. Politico reports Trump will address the group at the start of the session and tout party wins and rally lawmakers as the midterm campaigns get underway. Federal health officials say the U.S. is seeing a major spike in the number of flu cases.
The latest data from the CDC shows over 3,100 Americans died from the virus in 2025 and called it the most severe flu season since 2018. The new federal data says the flu was responsible for 279 pediatric deaths. As of December the 20th, it says there's been an estimated 7.5 million flu cases in the U.S. and 81,000 hospitalizations. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Arizona Senator Mark Kelly is reacting to the news of being censured by the Department of War. In a statement, Kelly called the move outrageous and wrong. The Democrat added in his part that he will fight with everything he's got, adding that he won't be intimidated by the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. Evacuations took place at the Arizona State Capitol in Phoenix on Monday after a package, officials said, contained two vials of a homemade explosive substance. Multiple buildings were evacuated, including the state court's building, which houses the Arizona Supreme Court and Court of Appeals. Officials are currently looking into the situation. A former child star claims he was fired from Universal Studios after reporting a suspected pedophile at the park.
In a post on social media, Stephen Anthony Lawrence alleged he was fired as retaliation in response to the allegation. The former actor said that he couldn't be associated with an organization or people that don't care about performer or guest safety. Lawrence also said he'll never allow his kids to go to Universal Studios Hollywood. The former child actor played Bernard Bean's Aaron Guerin in the Disney Channel series Even Stevens in the early 2000s. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Lake Superior State University's 50th annual Banished Words list is out, and it includes 6-7, which was just named Dictionary.com's Word of the Year for 2025 in October. Making up the rest of the list are demure, cooked, massive, incentive, full stop, perfect, gift or gifted, my bad, and reach out.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Celtics beat the Bulls 115-101 last night. Seas will host the Denver Nuggets tomorrow, and the Bruins skate in Seattle tonight at 10.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast.
Mostly cloudy today. It will be drier, though watch for a few icy spots early this morning inland away from the shoreline. Temperatures in the afternoon in the upper 30s. Rain showers develop tonight, mainly late at night and towards the overnight hours. Temperatures in the middle 30s. A leftover rain shower Wednesday morning. Some partial clearing in the afternoon. Highs near 40. Looks nice for Thursday. Sunshine milder and a high of 45. For WBSM, I'm 12 News. Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And if you are heading to a South Coast health facility or a Brown University health facility, there's some new masking policies to be aware of. So South Coast Health is asking that if you visit any of their offices or hospitals,
They're asking you to wear a mask. They're not requiring it, but they're asking. Because of this rise in the flu, COVID still being out there, and RSV. But, you know, really it's this flu outbreak that is the most concerning right now. And so they're asking people to wear a mask when in the facility, whether you are the patient, whether you are just a visitor. At Brown University hospitals, they're actually requiring it. So that would include St. Anne's and Morton Hospital. But they're actually requiring it there because of, you know, again, mostly this flu outbreak, but also, you know, upticks in COVID and RSV. So if you are going to be visiting one of these facilities, keep that in mind. And both health organizations said they'll have masks available at the front desk for anybody that needs one when they arrive. And by the way, you know, I know a lot of people out there are anti-mask after the COVID pandemic, but this was a policy that would have been in place before COVID. This was something that they used to ask people to do before COVID. It's just you didn't make a big deal out of it because nobody was forcing you to wear one all the time. So you didn't think twice about having to wear one when you went into a medical facility. I mean, I remember going to the doctor and putting one on because I had a cold. And they asked me, they said, would you mind just putting this on just so you don't spread your cold around? And I said, yeah, that's perfectly fine. So, you know, this is not really a new thing, you know, in the post-COVID era. This is something that's been done in the past. But again, at South Coast Health, they're just asking you. At Brown Health, they are requiring you. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know until Colleen called in right before you had to have President Burgo on. I was like, doggone it. I didn't get a chance to call in. And so I said, well, I've got today. So, yes. And you did nothing but stay home, which I think is a good thing because you are just out and about way too much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really make a big deal out of birthdays either.
I know, you're weird like that. I mean, to me, that's weird. I'm sorry. I just think it's a bit, I make a big deal out of people's birthdays because I just love to celebrate their life. Like, woo, you're here, another year. You know,
I can understand that for a day. I don't get this trend lately of people have birthday weeks and people have birthday months.
Birthday weeks, yeah.
I see that with the millennials. Like, oh my God, it's my birthday month. I'm like, no, it's the month that your birthday is in, and we're not going to be celebrating you for an entire month. No, you're not that special.
Yeah, let alone a whole week. I have seen that trend, and I'm like, no. And, you know, I'll tell you about birthdays. I used to give my mother a card every year on my birthday. I'd give her a happy birthday card because, after all, she gave birth to me on the day I was born. So I always felt like it was more about what she did, you know, going through that pain and everything. So I always made a point to give her something. And I know she appreciated that too. But yeah, so I wanted to say that. And yes, my stepbrother's in the hospital with pneumonia. I had two friends that just went in, a brother and sister. He went in. Then she went in like 3 days after him. And now my stepbrother, now the other two got out. This pneumonia, they're pushing you out of the hospital fast. So it looks like they're not keeping you for more than 3 or 4 days. But, you know, maybe my stepbrother will be in there just a little bit longer because of his heart. But, yeah, so, there's a thing to the mask. And I, right now, am in so much physical pain. I'm waiting for a rheumatologist to call me. I just can't. I'm having a problem walking.
Oh, no.
Going down the steps, coming up. I've lost control of my right leg. And my doctor called me, and we're just waiting for a rheumatologist. But he's like, everybody's so backed up. I might have to just go straight into the emergency room. And I'm like, yeah, that's not a medical bill I'm looking for. But not being able to use my leg is just
I would say not being able to walk is kind of an emergency.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, when it happened, I'm associating it with my lupus. I was diagnosed with this when I was 28, 32, right in that time frame. And I have Radon's disease with the lupus, but it's never really wreaked any havoc on me other than being, you know, not being able to be in the cold. Last summer was the first time it's ever affected me in the heat. But I don't know. It's reared its ugly head, and it's just really been attacking my body. I don't know why, but maybe there's something else overlapping with it is what I'm thinking. And so anyways, I'm waiting for a rheumatologist, hopefully, because he said he put a stat request on it so I can get there and fix this problem. But I know wherever I'm going, I'm wearing a mask because of this. I don't want to make my body any worse than right. It is, you know? So masks aren't really, they're not, I don't know. I don't find it to be so offensive, like, get a mask, whatever. I think it was the greatest thing. I think it's a great thing to have. And I just feel certain people with autoimmune disorders and other people just like you.
I was in Market Basket the other day. It was on New Year's Eve. I went to go grab some shrimp. As I was walking around the store picking up some other items, there was a woman who walked by and she had a mask on, but she had it under her nose.
Oh,
right. Well, but you know, so whatever. I mean, I don't, it's not my business. And a guy walks by her and stops her and says, honey, which first of all, don't ever approach a woman that you don't know and refer to her as honey.
As honey, wow.
And women, if somebody does that to you, like, and you take offense to it, let them know that they shouldn't be doing that. But anyway, so he was like, honey, just so you know, when you're wearing that below your nose, that's not really doing anything. And I just want to turn around and be like, hey, buddy, shut up and mind your own business. Because the person who wants to go and yell at you and tell you that having the mask under your nose doesn't do anything is also the same person that says you don't need to wear a mask. So why do you care how she's wearing the mask?
Oh my gosh, you know what? You are so right. It used to drive me nuts, but I wouldn't tell anybody. It would drive me nuts when I see them. But I figured, well, they can't breathe. They feel like they're suffocating with the mask over their nose. But in reality, it's just not good.
So that happened not during the COVID lockdown, but maybe not long after it. Because I remember it was at a time when, you know, a lot of people were still wearing masks. And so somebody was actually, I was in the store, it was in the Walmart in Wareham, and somebody had their mask just around their mouth, and a woman said something to her about it, and she turned to the woman and said, and basically what she was telling her is, I'm wearing this mask because I had oral surgery and I haven't been able to brush my teeth in a week. So I'm wearing the mask to protect you from my breath.
Oh my gosh. That is awesome. You see, you never know why somebody's wearing a mask. And even if they do have it under their nose, I always say, yeah, maybe they're claustrophobic and just they think it's better than just coughing out loud or sneezing or whatever. But yeah, you never know why.
I mean, the person who goes around telling you that you don't need to wear a mask is just as bad as the person who goes around telling you should be wearing one. You know, don't just mind your own business.
Yeah, it's everybody's individual choice. But me, for myself, right now, with the uptick in this particular type of flu, and me with whatever this is going on, I just can't wait to get a phone call. I hope it does. Otherwise, he said, I'm just going to have to go to the emergency room. And wow, that's going to be a lot of bills because I'll end up staying for all this blood work to see if the lupus, if it's Sjogren's,
listen, it's going to cost you money anyway. You might as well just get it taken care of and not be in pain.
Yeah, no, but you know what? I'm a tough cookie. And my doctor, he does not prescribe pain, any kind of pain management. I don't know why. Something happened right before the COVID where he stopped. He doesn't give anybody any kind of prescription for pain pills. And he does not do the job injury type of thing. he doesn't do that either anymore. And I told him yesterday when he called me, I said, you know, because we did a telehealth on the phone. And I said to him, you know, out of all the times, I wish this was one time you did. And because I have had strokes previous in my life when I was younger, I can't have any NSAIDs. I can't just go out and get with somebody else. I can't have lidocaine patches. I can't, yeah. So this is like literally me. And I told him I'm ready. I'm going out of my mind, ready to pull my hair out. So like he's really trying to get somebody to call me hopefully today. Well, but I'm not complaining. I'm all right. I am complaining, I guess. Now I am. But I'm trying my best not to be that person. And I am fortunate to have a high tolerance towards pain. But when I'm at where I am right now, oh boy. And another thing is like when you put up the mask, it's like, yeah, this flu, it's just, it's turning into pneumonia. And it's, like I said, 3 people.
I hope things work out. I got to hold you there because I got to take a break here.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me babble.
You have a good day.
Yeah. And happy 48 now, are you?
Yes.
Happy 48 to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a good day. And yes, 48 going on 12. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments.
Our connections make powerful things happen, uniting individuals and communities. We are Rotary. We are people of action. With over 1 million members, we know what people can do when they come together. Around the world, generations of leaders build new friendships and solve problems, turning great ideas into reality. Take action with us. Find out more at rotary.org/action.
You're waking up with the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app.
That's a song that I always thought, you know, that'd be a great scene in a movie where they're getting ready for like a final showdown. Kind of like, you know, getting ready to go, like, it's time. Get everybody together. It's time. And then that kind of starts playing in the background, builds to a crescendo. I think growing up in the 80s and seeing things like, you know, Miami Vice when they used In the Air Tonight to kind of set the tone, you say, oh, this is how you use music to convey emotion. So I always thought that'd be great in a scene like that. Speaking of music, coming up in the next hour, I'll probably plan the discussion around the Gen X Files time because it fits that. But I want to talk a little bit about MTV. First of all, there's some incorrect information out there about MTV. It has not gone off the air. It has not pulled its music channels in America. I know because I record programs, I DVR programs every day from one of MTV's music channels. That's kind of one of my relaxation things, is I will go home and just watch music videos from MTV Classic. So we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. But I've found a way for you to have the old school MTV experience on your computer, on your phone. You could do it on your television too if you have a smart TV. But I've found a way to have an old school MTV experience that you will really enjoy. If you are a music fan, a music video fan, especially if you like music videos from all genres and all decades. So that'll be coming up in the next hour. I think, you know, for a lot of us, we like to go down the nostalgia trip, the memory lane. So it'll be a good thing for those of you like me who, you know, I don't do drugs, but I do nostalgia, and I love the hit that it gives me. All right, let's take a quick phone call here before I got to go to one last break for the hour. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. You mentioned MTV. I believe that came on the air in 1981, am I right?
Yes, August of 1981.
Okay, now I have a trivia question for you. Name the four original VJs.
Well, that would have been Martha Quinn.
That's one.
J.J. Jackson.
Incorrect.
He wasn't one of the first ones?
Nope.
Well, I know.
I think he may have had. He was one of the early ones, but not the original four.
I thought he was day one.
I don't think so, Tim. I have four that are the originals, and he's not one.
And
I
you
was
had
him with News, and I remember another guy with News was Kurt Loder.
Yeah, but I don't think Kurt Loder was there in the beginning.
No, I'm pretty sure JJ is. I have the four in mind, but I he's not one, I believe.
And it was.
So you got three more to get. You got Martha Quinn, three more.
And I know it was Mark. Yes. Mark Goodman. Mark Goodman
that's
was one
two,
of them.
That's two.
And it was the other guy. Hmm. Can't think of his name. Alan Hunter.
You got it. One more to go. Was a lady.
Was it Nina Blackwood right at the beginning?
Bingo. Those are the four.
And then you had relatively early on, you know, in the 80s, they brought in Kevin, what's his name there? He was the first host of MTV. Kevin Seal.
Yeah.
He was one of the early ones. Julie Brown, you know, downtown Julie Brown was one
of
the early ones.
Julie Brown's, right.
Right. And I remember Kevin Seal, when he hosted Club MTV, he referred to himself as Kevin Club Baby Seal.
Okay.
And then, do you remember the first game show on MTV?
Remote Control?
I used to love that show.
Yeah, was it on like 11:30 at night?
I used to watch it in the evening. So I used to watch it, I think it was on at 7 p.m.
And who is the host of it now?
That would be Ken Ober.
There we go, bingo. And they had a lady on there, too.
Well, originally it was Kari Werher, but they brought in some different women over the years. And then the sidekick was Colin Quinn.
Right, absolutely, yeah. Here we go.
And
yeah.
Adam Sandler got a start on that show. He was the guy that lived upstairs, or the guy that lived in the basement or whatever it was. He would come on and do like different little funny things. And
right. And the very first MTV Music Awards was 1984 at Radio City Music Hall, hosted by Eddie Murphy.
And then the next one was, I believe, Dan Aykroyd and Bette Midler.
Okay.
And then I don't know who hosted.
I remember the first one in 1984, Madonna sang Like a Virgin on there.
And one of my favorite things about MTV was when they would have all those little bumpers in between, you know, the music videos and all
right,
of that.
Yes, yes.
And I remember, like, that's how Dennis Leary got discovered. That's how he broke it big. Donald Logue used to play Jimmy the Cab Driver. Those used to be all that's what I would look forward to sometimes more than music videos.
Yeah. Do you watch anything on MTV now?
Not on MTV proper, no, because it's just, you know, sitcoms and reruns of Ridiculousness and stuff like that. But I do watch MTV Classic.
Okay. Very good. All right, Tim. Always a pleasure to speak to you, my friend.
Likewise. Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye now.
All right. I got to take a break here. Let me see if I can get that in. We'll be back in a moment.